In a world that's fair, working in equally challenging conditions should result in equal rewards for those employees. Those rewards should also be arrived at through a process that's available to everybody. Well, that's not always the case, and my first guest today is here to explain how a workers' union is responding to this situation. He is the Executive Director of Ask Me NJ Council 63, Steve Tully. Thanks for being here today, Steve.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for inviting me.
And learn more about Ask Me overall and the specific chapters throughout the state. Ask Me, AFSCMENJ.org. And we have that link over at our webpage as well. So in the intro, I gave an overview. Give us some of the specifics. What is it that you have issue with Governor Murphy? And what's the foundation for why you've taken the action that you've chosen to take?
Well, first off, we represent 6,000 state employees. The workers who are on the front lines every day, caring for New Jersey's most vulnerable citizens, our veterans, our children and families, our citizens with developmental disabilities, our citizens who are struggling with behavioral health issues. Our workers, our members have been on the front lines throughout COVID. And, they're essential employees. They've been where the state has needed them to be, which is caring for our most vulnerable citizens. And, they work in very difficult conditions every day. Earlier this year, the state agreed to raise starting salaries for corrections officers by 20%. And they also gave across-the-board increases of 8% on all steps for corrections officers, which, by the way, were well-deserved, because the corrections officers are on the front lines during the pandemic as well. But when the rationale for giving those raises, the state cited that the corrections officers, had worked through COVID. They worked through being short-staffed, having to do mandatory shifts. They cited their professionalism and dedication as essential workers, all of which is true. But that also applies to the members that we represent. All of our members were on the front lines just as the corrections officers were, because that's where the state needed them to be. So when the state gave these pay increases to the corrections officers, we reached out to the governor's Office of Employee Relations and asked that the same raises be applied to our members, and we were advised that they were not going to do that. We continued pressing the issue, and we had also done some research, wanted to get an idea and some background on the bargaining unit for both groups. And when we did the background information and requested this information from the governor's Office of Employee Relations, we found a couple things and a couple of significant differences with respect to the corrections officers bargaining unit and our bargaining unit. For instance, the corrections officers bargaining unit was comprised of 82% men. Our bargaining unit was comprised of 67% women. The largest single block graphic block in the corrections bargaining unit are white males at 43%. The single biggest demographic for our bargaining unit are black females at 47%. And as a broader stroke, with respect to the demographics of our bargaining unit, overall, our bargaining unit is 82% people of color, with 69% of those members being black. So it raised concerns for us that, well, wait a second, now it's not just comparing one set of employees to another set of employees. It now became, the demographics became a concern to us. And we raised this with Governor Murphy. In a letter I sent to the governor in July, I cited the exact same statistics that I just said here. We also outlined for the governor, just how our members have been on the front lines. And unfortunately, the governor has not recognized these facts. They have made no efforts to adjust the pay for our members. And quite frankly, there's been an unwillingness to address these inequities, and ultimately they left us with no choice but to file this lawsuit against the governor and the state for racial and gender discrimination.
That was Dave Tully, who is the executive director of Ask Me NJ Council 63. AskMeNJ.org is the website you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Plain devil's advocate here, even if the disparity of gender and race was not intentional, it certainly presents an ugly optic. Did the Murphy administration, did anyone in that side of this picture come out just flat out saying, well, no, that's really not about race or gender? Did they recognize this and respond to it, or is that not even part of the conversation from their side?
Well, I don't think that's been a particular focus of theirs. I mean, I think that in the conversations that we've had, I can certainly say for the ones that I've had, I've made it a point of saying to the governor's office that, that maybe this is unintentional. Maybe you didn't realize what you're doing or what impact this had. But, we've then now brought this to you, and you need to take a closer look at it and realize, just what has happened here, and you need to address it. But there's been no indication that they're willing to do that. And there's been no, there's been no real discussion, I would say, along those lines, one way or another. But, Chris, what's especially troubling here for us is that, the governor's inaction flies in the face of his stated commitment for addressing and fixing pay equity issues for women and for people of color. I mean, the governor has made pay equity for women the centerpiece of his platform, certainly through his reelection campaign. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen it tout that, post-election. And then in 2021, he signed an executive order to create a wealth disparity task force that would examine the causes and remedies of wealth disparities that affect people of color. And yet, here we are with a clear example of a disparity for women, pay disparity for women and for people of color, and the governor is not practicing what he's preaching. In fact, he's making the problem worse by not acting. And it's concerning, and it's, quite frankly, it's frustrating.
Doing some research and background before we got into the segment, I saw a report saying that the raises for the correctional police officers, they were instituted through legislation, not through negotiation and arbitration. Is that factual?
That is true. It was done through legislation. But all of our options are, we're considering all of our options that are available to us. But in this particular case, even when it was passed through legislation, the governor signed the bill, and he's now acknowledged that workers in the same circumstances as our members are, deserve the pay increase, and they received the pay increase. And he also increased starting salaries. Once that fact has been established that he supported it, you don't need to go through legislation. I mean, it could be something that we just sit down at the bargaining table. We agree to open up the contract just for this specific issue and adjust the salaries accordingly. And I'd like to point out too, on the legislative end, I mean, our members are already 6 months behind, because these pay increases went into effect in April of 2022, and here we are, at the end of October. So while they were legislated, there are other avenues available to address it.
Steve mentioned that among his union members are people who work in the state-run veterans' homes, which you want to make the obviously accurate observation that correctional officers are facing challenging times. So did those workers, by the way, given the ineptitude of how the state responded to the COVID pandemic, placing those workers in veterans' homes at additional dangers and risks above and beyond what they already are at. But that's another long conversation we're going to have for another time, too. What are your immediate hopes out of the actions that that your union is taking right now?
Well, our immediate hopes are that Governor Murphy comes to his senses and sits down with us and has a meaningful dialogue. And, you know, we work this problem out, and he puts his money where his mouth is and recognizes the effort of our members and treat them the way that they deserve to be treated, equitably and fairly and with dignity and respect. That's all we're asking. And Chris, can I just mention one other thing? Because you had mentioned the Veterans Home, which is a much longer conversation, by the way.
Sure.
You're correct about that. You know, in the Veterans Homes where we represent members, in the psychiatric facilities, the developmental centers, the Division of Children and Families, our members were on the front lines throughout the entire pandemic. And the pandemic has taken such a devastating psychological toll on them. I mean, we have so many members who are suffering from stress, from burnout, from just the fallout from the things that they witnessed during the pandemic. I mean, they dealt with patients dying, with residents dying. Many of the workers brought COVID home to their family members, and at least one case that I know brought it home to a family member who subsequently passed away from COVID. It's just not right. It's not right to treat these workers different. They went through hell and back, and they're going to be dealing with hell psychologically for a long time. And this is just something to us that is simply about fairness, and it's about showing respect for workers. And by the way, your own workers. The governor is in a unique position here because these are state workers. These are his employees. He has an opportunity to do the right thing by them and show them that respect and their value. And we hope he comes to his senses and does.
He's executive director of Ask Me, New Jersey Council 63, Steve Tully. On the web, it's askmenj.org. Steve, thanks for the passion that you bring to the serious issue. It sounds strange to say, but to have to demand fairness and equality is where this situation is. But hopefully, sooner versus later, that fairness and equality will be the response from those having responsibility placed upon them. Responsibility they willingly took on, by the way, and now they have to respond to it. Steve, best of luck with everything that you're taking on with this issue. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks for having me.